Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Chris, I'm going to tell you right now.
That's what they're
you want a rant? I'll give you a rant. You want a rant? I'll give you one.
Yeah.
If I ever go to a place with you, I don't know why I would ever be in a Whole Foods or a fucking Trader Joe's or whatever with you, and you take a sample of some cheese or some shit that they're giving out, I will fucking murder you. I'll never talk to you again. I'll never talk to you again, you disgusting pig. Ever. If I hate people that take samples of shit, I hate them. You know what's great is the amnesia. Like, it's the amnesia of the Manzo family. How, like, you guys will be like, hey, guess what I'm doing? I'm like, well, yeah, I know. Remember, we were talking about
So, yeah, that's the topic of today, right? It's idea stealing. It was perfect. So, I guess we could do that. If people don't know, Dear Albie started because I had a show called Foul Territory. And nobody showed up to work one day. So I grabbed a bunch of Dear Albie questions and I asked my brother Dear Albie questions because nobody showed up to the film. So we kind of created this really fun episode. We told you about it. And then you brought the podcast
actually, it was the
idea
only
up to Al.
Episode I wa- what was that on? SNY?
No, you're giving me a lot of credit. It was on Fantasy Sports Network.
Okay. And I thought they had like a 2 a.m. kind of slot. So I saw it, but it was the one episode I saw, and I was like, I love this. I was like, this segment's fantastic. I was like, Al, that's a podcast. And then Al came up, and then Al, 3 weeks later, came to me with this epiphany that he's going to create a podcast called based on that thing, and I was like, oh, really? That's great.
Well, you really couldn't have set it up any better, John. So in part one, I got into great detail about a young lady named Lizzie Maggie. I'm not going to, you know, you could listen to it if you want more information, but the reason I wanted to talk to you about it, and again, I can't set the table for John enough, is you're definitely, and I think you know this, one of my favorite people to talk to about just fucking anything. If there's nothing to talk about, we have like buttons that we'll press of like, all right, I know what to do. Like we're running out of ideas. Let's do Eddie Vedder versus Dave Grohl argument just give each other 30 minutes
of
yelling.
I'll do that all day.
So I don't think I have the audience for it.
We'll start that again.
But the idea basically is that, especially when it comes to ideas, and I think last, it was either Chris Three or Dear Albie, I'm starting to get them confused. I mentioned Adam Padilla came up and Al said, I think creatively he's probably one of the people that have affected you the most. He said he's definitely on my short list. And most certainly probably at the head of that short list would be John. So I'm excited to introduce you to people that might not be familiar with you yet. You did some filming with us, though, right? Didn't you do Manzo? You should be semi-familiar.
I avoided that. I went.
Like, you hung out.
I went, and I sat there and drank in the background. I wasn't going to get on the show.
Always behind the camera. And, John, do you want to go into what you do or not really?
Well, I think it's interesting that you're the reason you called me for this was for ideas, but in reality, I'm in the business of stealing. That's my business. Is to steal. I mean, I have a company where I bring people from outside disparate industries into other companies so that they can look at it and say, oh, we should steal that from this industry that we never would have thought of. And of course, we do that as podcasts. So it's a podcast production company. We do public podcasts as well as private internal podcasts. And a lot of them do focus on a lot of those shows will focus on finding ideas and approaches and strategies from other industries and finding a way to kind of steal them, tweak them, change them a little bit and apply them to their own. So, you know, if you're trying to talk about decision making, we might talk to PepsiCo, we might talk to a fighter pilot.
So, and that's always been really fun, and it's a great, honestly, bar conversation when you need an icebreaker and you have somebody around like, oh, you're gonna love John, and you get into, you know, you learn a lot about different industries, and
I guess stealing examples in which I is leave.
Well, I wouldn't say the same. I mean, you have a set list.
I
like
do.
You can
have a greatest
you have greatest hits, but you also have the ones that the diehards know, you know, right. Like yes. You, like I know your early shit.
Yeah, you know the pit crew in the hospital.
I guess I don't. So, but yeah, I mean, the story of Monopoly, kind of, as I said in part one, there's a lot of different people. I really spoke specifically about Lizzie Maggie because I thought she had a cool background between just a really unique history for a lady in 1900.
Is she alive?
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
She was like 40 in 1905.
Oh, okay, so she's... I probably went to high school. I went to high school with
her. Her story's not that interesting. So, but the idea of, yeah, I couldn't get her, so I got the second oldest person right. I could possibly get my hands
right.
on.
You got me.
Figured you went to school with her or something.
Yes.
So, right. So, but oh, the idea Lizzie, is basically a game of telephone. Lizzie! So Monopoly was just kind of a big game of telephone that a number of different people thought that they could have kind of that they could claim that they created it, and obviously Parker Brothers ended up reaping all the rewards from it. The Monopolist, really great book by Mary Pilon. Where would you go with that, John?
Yeah, I would say Pilon.
So Mary Pilon, awesome book. I got most of it done, but I wanted to do this episode specifically about Lizzie, so I got all those parts finished. But I thought it was kind of, I thought of you because you're a tattoo.
Right.
And it's a Picasso quote, right?
It is. Good artists copy and great artists steal.
And I was thinking about, and I know we've had a couple conversations about it, John, and I know you're kind of something of a business historian, whether you want to call yourself that or not. Hmm. But I feel like you know a lot about, I shouldn't say business, ideas, right? Sure. You love a creator. You have blueprints tattooed on your arm as well.
Yep.
Right?
I do. Yep.
And, didn't you get rid of something? Sorry, we're getting a lot of this out. I'm just catching up too.
Yeah, I got rid of the, well, I started to get rid of the coordinates.
What do you think, as a person that
but they
works
look better
well
now.
In the
they
idea?
They look better now that they're all faded. Remember you saw those? You're like, shit, those look pretty good now. So
it looked cool.
Yeah.
Hard to capture that.
Yeah.
Like, so as an idea person, some of you traffic in it, you've worked in some of the biggest ad companies, you've done the kind of things that I think in the ad and marketing world that if you said it, people have, their knee jerk would be to say, that's bullshit. Anyone could say that, right?
Yes, of course.
Like you've done big enough things that you could say, "Oh, I'm the guy behind this," and they'd say, "No,
I created,"
which I think is a huge
compliment. The pop-up store.
And
no
you,
one ever did.
That's
no one
something
ever did
you've
a
been
pop-up
telling me
before. We did it for Nintendo in, and anybody who wants to argue this, I'm fucking willing to argue this all day long. No one ever had done a pop-up before. We did it for Nintendo in, I want to say it was 2001 for the GameCube, where we went to all different cities, rented a space, and brought the experience in. And then all of a sudden, everybody was doing it. And I will tell you, I copied that. I stole that concept from H&R Block. Because H&R Block, during tax season, would show up at a place and put a store in for, because they only need it during tax season. And people would go there,
right.
and then they would go away. And I said, why the hell don't we do that for Nintendo? And Nintendo bought off on it. But we took over huge spaces for this "quote unquote cube club," and then people started doing them and taking credit for it, but they're full of shit.
And now, where do you go now? Like 20 years later, it's such a big thing. Is it something that you even had the opportunity to trademark or patent, or was that just not the world you were in? Did you not see it as like a future?
That's actually a good question. It's one of those things that we did so many of them. I mean, I can't even tell you how many pop-ups we did before people did start catching on. I mean, we had done some for L'Oreal. We had done some for Altoids. I mean, we had done a lot of them. And so I look at it as, well, I made a pretty good, I made a buck on doing that. But I don't think it was ever, that's one of those concepts that I go, I wonder if there was a way to trademark or patent or whatever the hell they call it, you know, doing that. I'm not sure if there ever was, but I look at it as, you know, more for my ego. It's like, come on, give me the credit. So I just went out and got a, I got a PR person a long, long time ago and started creating the stories around it. And I was fine with that. As long as you feed my ego, that's the social currency works for me.
Yeah. So my, apparently my grandfather invented the milk carton.
Come on.
That's what I'm, my mom and everyone that she's related to, will fight you tooth and nail on that fact.
I love
but he never trademarked it.
I had a guy in my fraternity at Syracuse whose father invented the Duraflame log, and I still think he's full of shit. But we had a lot of Duraflame logs in our house, in our fraternity.
he might have been.
I'm looking at it going, maybe so that's now, true.
Then my first thought, so like, where do you go? Why do people, they protect this shit out of an idea, right? Yeah. And I have to, I want to get ahead of something. I try to be very transparent with the audience.
Sure.
There is a piece of this that's uncomfortable for me, and I probably should have opened with this because I'm such good friends with John that I'm now catching myself now, getting into the kind of podcast host mode because I caught myself just kind of catching up before. So, you know, like I want a little bit of leeway with you because it might go a couple different directions. That's kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I should give a warning that we do get, we do have kind of more of a shotgun spray style of conversation.
And we can go off into very, very disparate tangents. But the good news is we are missing one element right now.
Al.
Booze.
Oh, I thought you were saying, I thought it was Al. Because no. I was going to say, what are we going to do without somebody getting on the phone and walking out of the room?
This could be a complete shit show if we were drinking.
Well, we should, honestly, I've been wanting to do something fun. Like once there's a bit of a community of people that care, I want to do stuff like live drinking sessions.
I have 25 podcasts of me, you and Al drinking.
It has to be so bad.
I mean, we did one on New Year's Eve. Remember we did the one on New Year's Eve? He was doing it live on...
I think I fell asleep in the middle of it.
You did. You fell asleep. He was doing it on Facebook, whatever. I don't
Periscope. Know.
It wasn't Periscope. I think it was like Facebook Messenger. He was getting messages in and I was reading the question. It was bizarre.
So let me ask you this. When you talk about like, you see, I think who has a claim to get upset about an idea getting stolen? Like to me, I think a comedian, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a little bit, you are in the business of sentences and kind of whoever said it first, I think needs to stick with it. And I think they have a right, right, to get pissed off. But I also think that's how hard is it? Like, you're all talking about the DMV, and you're all pretty funny. Like, you're kind of going to cross paths at some point, opinion-wise, right?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting, I guess, field to talk about because I think it's the way they position it. That creativity, I mean, that's hard to almost, like, oh, I said that too. You know what I mean? That's a joke.
It's very he said, she said, just the clubs.
Yeah.
And we were talking yesterday about how people, I mean, I'll start reality TV, right? You've worked for some of the biggest brands in the world and you know things that I can't even get into. And I want you to explain it the way you explained it yesterday when someone will tell you what Nintendo should do or whatever, but they would come to me and say, hey, I have an idea for a reality TV show. Don't tell anybody.
Right.
And, like what the fuck are you going to do with this idea? What are your chops in the reality TV world that you don't want me to tell anybody? But I know people, I can get it done.
Yeah.
So you're so protective over your idea that you don't want to tell it to me because I might steal it, even though you're telling me the idea. So you're just asking me not to steal it.
Right.
But the only thing you're not asking me to do is the thing I can do and go to like a production company or a network and say, hey, this guy's got a great idea. But you're literally saying, don't help me with this idea when you say don't tell anybody.
It's just crazy to me because I think there's when people have ideas, like, I mean, there's so many avenues to go down. So everybody, you know, ideas are like assholes, right? Everybody has one. So you have an idea and then there's the people that are like, well, I don't want anybody to steal it. It's like, okay, well then protect it, whatever that means. Then if somebody does steal it, go after them. If they stole it, if you have that much heart for it and you have proof that you gave it to them. But I think where it has to start is, can you even fucking do it? Like, are you really, you know, it's that, and I always forget if it's Einstein or Edison that said, you know, vision without execution is hallucination. And
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a great quote, but it's just so true. It's like, okay, yeah, you have this great idea, but what are you really going to do this idea? Truly, like, who do you know? Like, there are people in the corporate world. Sorry to keep going, but here, but like in the corporate world, people will say, to me, oh, you know, you're working with Domino's. I have a great idea for them. I'm like, oh, here we fucking go. And they'll be like, you know what they should do? They should do this and this and this. And it's like, number one, Domino's just spent $300 million on an audience segmentation and research to come up with their brand positioning and who they want to, who their audience is and how they should talk to their audience and the tone and the manner. And you think that you're going to give them an idea that they're just going to go, okay, yeah, let's do that. And secondly, who are you going to even talk to? What are you talking to? A fucking delivery guy? Like, who are you going to bring that idea to?
That's what gets me. Like, you're Will Smith and his son in that movie. You're just going to, like, walk into a corporation and just declare something.
Although I will tell you this, what's really interesting now, and when I'm talking almost, that always made me laugh, being in the idea space, especially the innovation space from a marketing or innovation working with corporations. But these days, a lot of corporations have smartened up and they are looking at social media and what people are, there was that whole user generated crowdsourcing movement years ago. They are looking at it, and then they are potentially stealing it in some cases. And then you have companies like PepsiCo, like Doritos, which is Frito-Lay, looking at it and saying, well, let's make a program out of it. Create that, and we'll make it our Super Bowl ad. But a lot of companies do that. But if you don't want them to do it, then don't fucking put it out there.
And that brings me to like what you said before. What are you going to do with it? So you know the Victoria's Secret story, right?
I think you told me.
Are you familiar with that?
I don't know.
So the guy who created Victoria's Secret, and forgive me, I didn't expect to bring the story up, so I don't have all the details in front of me, but he sold it to, I guess, whoever whatever the company is now. I think it was like a Swedish company or some shit, for like $3 or $4 million. And then they turned it into what it turned into, and he killed himself. Because he thought he got rid of something amazing. You peaked. Like, you did the most you were able to do with that brand. There's nothing wrong with selling something in like the 90s for $5 million.
Right.
So the reason they bought it is they understand that it was undervalued, and they understood what they can bring to it. And if you're listening to this, you don't have to be a business person to apply this to your life. Just because, like, you might have done the most you're able to do with something.
Yeah.
Somebody else doing more with it, they're just better at you in that one particular avenue or lane. It doesn't mean that you're an idiot or whatever. It's just you had a good idea. You were able to raise it and make it run a little bit, but you're not able to turn it into Seabiscuit. You need a trainer for that. You need a business. That's a different world. And I think, I don't know. To me, I would have been so happy. Yeah, of course I'm going to kick myself in the ass when I'm watching 5 million people watch it on TV when there's a fashion show with the Weeknd singing. And I'm like, damn, I could have been front row with that and making money or whatever. But you couldn't have.
Right.
So I think when people are so quick to say, must be nice or all that kind of thing, or he got screwed, or I think people need to know their ceiling. So yeah. Like sometimes I have an idea, and I don't mean sometimes, you know this really well, pretty often I have an idea, and the first thing I do is I call the person that I think could use it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know shit about making an app, but I know a guy who does, and maybe this will help.
And I think there's something to that too, right? So there's something to that idea, and that there's a little bit of confidence there. There's also a little bit of self-awareness. Like, I'm only going to get it so far, or I'm not going to do anything with it, so I want to put it in the right person's hands. And sometimes getting that idea off your shoulders or out of your mouth feels like a relief, especially when you're a person like you who you've already pretty much moved on to the next idea. So you know more are coming, and you're like, I want to get this out of the arsenal and have a little relief with that.
It's true. It's like, oh, let me hear someone in the field say it's a good idea.
Say it's a good idea.
And most of the time, that's enough for me.
That's enough. Yeah.
That's enough for me.
It's funny too, with people that get their ideas taken. I mean, if you do, I had a boss, my very first boss. I remember we went to K-Rock back when,
my God.
Yeah, it was K-Rock. Stern was on K-Rock, and we were doing the, we brought them this concept. of an auction. I forget what it was. I forget exactly what we were doing. And I said, why don't we get like rock star, we'll call it rock and jock. We'll get like rock stars and musicians to sign one. So in other words, like you would get like a Springsteen and a, you know, at that time, like Lawrence Taylor Bernie to Williams sign or, a guitar.
Right.
Like it just really unique. You'd have a rock and jock.
Cool.
And they ended up taking that and using it for Hungerthon. I remember they had like a Billy Joel Bon Jovi or Billy Joel. I forget who the athlete was that signed it. I forget what it was, but they, and I was fucking pissed. I was like, oh man, you know, I was like 21 years old. And my boss had said to me at the time, he just said, you know what, man, you should number one, know that you should take a little heart in the fact that, and be proud of yourself that they stole it. Cause it's a compliment, right? People always say that whatever the hell that saying is.
Imitation best form.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he also said, you know, he said, look, if you came up with that now, you're going to come up with a million more. And if they were smart, they'll come back to us because they know where they got it. Now, a lot of times people don't want to admit that, but the smartest people who steal ideas also know where to go to the well. They know to go back to the Chris Manzos.
You talk about the smartest idea people in the world, like Steve Jobs are to come to mind, right? You look at where the iPhone's gone. Obviously, he's passed since, but I think you might have told me his plans were like protected for like 40 years out. Like he's Tupac with like unreleased music.
Maybe.
But something he had some kind of crazy plans. And of course, he can't even, maybe he could, I don't know, foresee where AI and things like that would go. So who knows how valuable those plans might be now. But his idea, his code, the mouse, everything was stolen by Microsoft, right? And Microsoft in the 90s, you could speak to it. I mean, that they created everything, right? They everything we know today is from that era of the that kind of cyber wars and, you know, boom. And it took Bill Gates taking an idea that wasn't his and really perfecting it to piss Steve Jobs off enough to create everything as we know it today.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being like really content with Macintosh.
Yeah, but he admits to Steve Jobs is one of the, and I call it cross-pollination. I call my form of thievery cross-pollination. It's a good, or people call it thought diversity now in business, but it's looking at, let me look over here, see what I can take from this industry and apply it here. He was a master of that, and he was a big believer in that, and in this whole idea of connecting the dots and looking to outside areas. I mean, he used to spend a lot. I mean, there's millions of quotes from, not millions, but there's a ton of quotes from him saying, you should leave work and be a poet for 2 years and do this and do that. And the whole idea was what you would learn. But that guy is was an admitted thief. Like, I found inspiration here and took it from this and applied it.
So I was about to bury Bill Gates and then just kind of do a revival story out of nowhere. But Steve Jobs, when they asked if he's pissed at Bill Gates and Microsoft for stealing, he said, well, no, we stole it.
Yeah.
He said, stole it. They stole it from, what's it called? The Xerox, the printing company.
Right. Well, Xerox is code. Those the best ideas. Like, you know, when I launch my Dear Albie in about 2 weeks, it's going to be way better than Al's.
I was going to end the show with when is there a Palumbo podcast? Cause that's, I feel like it's, yours should have came before mine, I thought. But yeah, I think that's funny when you look at guys like, you know, Tesla, I know you have a big love for.
He invented the light bulb. Elon or Nikola Tesla?
No, Nikola Tesla. I have an Elon thing coming up too, but Nikola Tesla, like he created the light bulb.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one goes with it, but it's because I don't know. You read the book about where that affected him.
Yeah, the book, the First Days of Night, which I love that book because it's a fiction book based on the real accounts of what happened and the four. But you see, that's a great book to reference right now because anybody who's into that like historical stuff, you're gonna love it because it takes it from a fictional standpoint of like the lawyer of I think Westinghouse who is involved in this as well, and it runs through it, but it uses real life accounts. And the whole idea is Nikola Tesla was the idea person. Thomas Edison was the marketer. So in other words, I'm going to get it out to everybody. Westinghouse was the manufacturer. So even Thomas Edison could only get it so far. You still have to produce the shit. And that's what Westinghouse did. and JP Morgan was the money. So that's what's so funny about it is that, and Nikola Tesla didn't give a fuck. Like that guy was, I'm sure in the end he was probably like, I wish I had, you know, a couple bucks to have not be living in this cardboard box. But I mean, think about it. That's what goes into an idea. It's like, yeah, you have an idea. Okay. Who's going to get the word out? Who's going to manufacture it and who or execute it? And then who's going to give you the money to do it?
Well, and that's kind of, to me, the meat of where this kind of topic doesn't bother me, but it what I wish people understood.
Yeah.
If you have an idea and you're doing it because you believe in it, again, I don't believe in half the ideas I have. That's why I give them to people, right? And I don't care if they get, I don't consider them stolen. I consider it really an honor that someone's using my, how many wedding hashtags have I done? You used to make fun of me. Right.
So yeah. Well, I remember we used to
wedding
come,
hashtags.
I think somebody even came to you. I was like, "Hey, can you get a wedding hashtag for so and so?" I forget who it was. I think it was my niece.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe one she was going to or something.
Yeah, something.
And then, but remember, there was all these. There was like a time with TV show, you know, names and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I remember like you should be getting paid for this shit, and you're probably right. But at the other time, I was just so happy to be. Giving ideas and then being heard. But yeah. Then there's a time where if I have an idea, and I'll probably give a more specific reference to this later on in the conversation, but that I know how to raise that kid, right? I know mm-hmm. I didn't just name it. I know what it's going to take for this thing to flourish and be successful.
Right.
I don't know anyone that's done well with an idea that didn't get it stolen. I mean, going into the Monopoly conversation, there were 3-4 ripoffs between Milton Bradley and 4 or 5 other companies immediately. So yeah. It's either they're going to steal it now or they're going to steal it later. You came up with the idea. You should know its DNA. You have a head start. Let them take it. You don't know what a fast horse looks like unless there's a slow one.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And I also think what's really funny about people that have ideas, because being an idea person and having the access that I do to companies, people don't realize that I can't just call up, you know, the CEO of P&G and be like, hey, here's an idea for Tide. They think I do, but I can't. But they will. People hammer me with ideas, especially ones for companies. And what amazes me is that they never Google them first, because every idea is out there. Like I would even argue that woman Lizzie, what was her name? Lizzie something. What was her name?
Yeah.
Again? So
Lizzie Maggie. Lizzie a weird 1900s name?
Yeah, it's a great name. I actually would bet that she stole the idea. Now, I'm not saying every idea. First of all, I am saying every idea is stolen. You just don't realize where you might subconsciously not even realize where it came from. So I bet you she took pieces of things that she had heard and she put them together. And yes, it was kind of an original idea. And then the next person who quote unquote stole it might not even think that they stole it. They might just think, yeah, I heard something like that, but here's an idea I have. People don't necessarily look at it and go, I'm going to steal an idea. And this is something we had talked about yesterday, which is I don't know if you realize that when you're telling someone an idea and you think they're going to steal it, do you really think that that person has nothing fucking better to do than stop their life and pursue the idea that you just gave them? Like no one, for the most part, most people when they hear an idea are not going to go, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to quit my job and steal your idea. Most people, their ego is too big to even do that. They would look at it and go, yeah, that's pretty good, but not that great. Like you used to shit on every idea. You hated that. Remember when I first met you and I said you got so pissed.
No, but it's good because it teaches you editing also, where you're
right.
Like you're talking to someone who you don't hate it to be a dick.
Yeah.
You hate ideas and you explain why they don't make sense. And that's how you learn things. And I didn't go to any school at all. I finished in high school. I didn't go to culinary school. I didn't go to business school. I didn't go to anything. So my learning was through conversations like with you or other people that, you know, that I would respect in their field. I wanted to see if you spot a trend in a couple things. Okay. Top 10 grossing box office movies for 2022. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Spider-Man No Way Home, Thor Love and Thunder, The Batman, Minions The Rise of Gru, Jurassic World Dominion, Avatar The Way of Water, Doctor Strange The Multiverse of Madness, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Top Gun Maverick.
Sure.
What do all 10 of those have in common?
They've all been, well, they're all, well, either.
There's not a single original fucking idea.
Yeah, there's no original. Yeah, they're all from somewhere else. Yeah.
It's all, and if it weren't a sequel, it's still taken from, ideas, whether it be from comic 100%. Books or from video games, from folklore. And where do they get it from? They're getting it from ancient gods. That's and right. from, so they're really, that, like you said, whether you said consciously, oh, I'm going to take this idea and roll with it or not,
you did it. That's right. You stole. And it's funny too, because even podcasts now, so remember how, when you, to your example of the movies, the movie industry, I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina. When I moved here, I had no idea it was a big movie town. It's a huge fucking movie town. Like, there's huge movie productions, studios here. And, there's movies being filmed all over the place. I had no idea that, or to your point, those are, a lot of producers will go and look at books or comic books or video games for inspiration for movies. Now they're doing it with podcasts. And they're looking at podcasts and they're saying, here's a popular podcast. Let's use podcasts are like the new books for movies. So they're looking at podcasts and they're saying, let's use that and create that. Let's turn that into a movie or let's turn that into a show. So podcasts have become the new feeder for movies and shows, which I think is really unique too. And even some production companies are now putting podcasts out to see if they can generate an audience. And if they do, they're going to the money people and saying, look, we have an audience built in. Let's create a movie out of it.
Well, that's, and anyone, not to spoil anything for TV people, for fans of TV out there, but you know this, John, because I think we're probably more than allowed to talk about it, but we tried to do a TV show with you for a long time. Al and I tried to produce a show with you and some people that produced Housewives and some others. And their biggest issue is that most ideas are original. Like, when you go to a network, their problem for the most part is these ideas are a little too original.
That's not what it was. Can I say what it really was?
No, not yours specifically, but John, but when haven't you heard show proof of, how many times do you hear proof of concept?
Proof of concept, yep.
So, yeah, well, if this was already, they did say it actually, if this was already a podcast and people understood a little more and there was proof, no one's going to go out on a limb anymore. So yeah, it's almost like you can't.
Well, you know what? You're
original.
Right. If there was a podcast, you're right. Because what they did say was they, and I thought this was really, obviously we won't mention any names here, but what they did say was the network. I mean, do you remember we were about to fly down to New Orleans and shoot that pilot? And the network called and said, we can't do it because it's too coastal. So basically,
yeah.
Everybody in on the West Coast would get it, and everybody on the East Coast would get it, but people are too dumb in the middle to get it. And I was like, are you fucking for real? Like, I couldn't even
believe. And that's not John saying that. That is, I don't want to say, you know. But
it's not me saying
that's
it.
That's exactly how it's. Yeah, no, I'm saying that's not John saying it. That was the report back. Is we had
no,
this really cool idea.
If I were going to say it, I always compare the United States to a swimming pool, and I say that the East Coast is the deep end, and it gets to the shallow end when you go to the West Coast. But that's just me.
I like that.
Probably worse.
But what happens in the middle then? Is it just like the, what happens there?
I think it just goes lower.
Does it get deeper?
I think it just gets shallower and shallower until you get to LA, and then you have a big do not dive posted on everyone's forehead.
So it's 100% true. So, but that's, and I think that's kind of the fun part about what we're talking about is like ideas are every single thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can go on this for days and days and days talking about, you know, TV shows and movies. And, you know, I think Kanye West, pariah as he may be now, but when he was producing music, everybody loved him. They loved him because of his samples.
Yeah.
You know, that he'll sample Otis Redding and he'll sample, you know, songs from the past. Puffy, in his 90s run, Will Smith has never recorded a song that wasn't an exact ripoff of somebody else's.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's kind of my point. I don't know. You're recording this, so I don't know where we are in time. I can keep going, but I think that the point is just kind of get over your idea because you're stealing it too. And if you love it that much, protect it.
Yeah.
And go out and do it. But don't just say, I have this idea. Oh my God, that was my idea. I could put together a list. You're going to laugh at most of them. Energy beef jerky. I wanted to do when I was like 18 years old. And then that's a whole category now. So many TV shows and different concepts.
Well,
I always love
that
brands.
When people are like, I thought of that idea. Yeah, you did. That's great. How'd that work out for you?
And it's always, well, what happened? Oh, I didn't tell anybody. It was just like my idea first. Great. Yeah. Well, everyone's decided they want a reality show about, you know, matadors or whatever the hell it is. It doesn't mean that you created it.
Right. It's so funny. I mean, it really, but it is. I'm with you. If you have an idea, I almost go back to what my first boss had said, which is just be happy I had a great idea that somebody did steal, that it was that good, and have the, you know, have the confidence to know, you know, that you're going to have a million more. I mean, if you have a good idea, if you could create one good idea, you could create 50, and you just got to get to the point where do you really want to be? And I mean, you hear that on Shark Tank all the time, right? Those people go in and they look at them and they go, you know what? I'm going to invest in the person because I think you come up with great ideas. I don't necessarily like your idea. I talked to this venture capital guy once and they had said, it's not about, I forget exactly how they put this, but they said, I might get this right. It's the jockey, not the horse or the course. And they were like, we're more about the founder of the company. We don't really care so much about your company and the industry, which would be the horse and the course, but they care more about the jockey.
Because he's in control of it.
What's that?
No. I was visualizing all of it, and I got lost in a horse race.
This is, by the way, to everybody listening, this is the part where if we were in a bar, Chris is looking at his phone. I know you're fucking looking at your phone right now.
I'm not,
looking
swear at to God. Phone. I swear yes, to God, I don't do that.
You're looking at a text.
I'm not.
Fucking bastard.
I'm not. No one even texts me anymore. I don't have anyone to text. I have no one in my life. I get plenty of texts. Not in a bragging way. That sounded like I was flexing on the amount of texts I get. I could discard 99.9% of them. There's literally like four people I want to hear from on a daily. Not even. So,
but I will say this, that woman Lizzie,
I was laughing at my flighty ass brain. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, let me tell you that Lizzie Maggie, you know what I like about Lizzie Maggie? Because you did tell me that she was fine with it. And I love that. She was cool with it.
She definitely tried to prove that it was her board. But here's the thing. This is kind of my Victoria's Secret thing. She didn't really create it. She created a board and her game was cooler, I think. She wanted to do like, there's an anti-monopoly team and a monopoly team. So she was really big on politically on Georgism, the Henry George, like the single tax system. And that was the whole point of creating Monopoly for her. She wanted to show the dangers of big business and how you could kind of help
somebody
break them
out there
up
listening right now is going to go, I'm going to take that idea, or subconsciously they're going to listen and then they're going to come out with this game and not even realize that they got it from this podcast.
They're going to forget this podcast and then one day they're like, you know what would be cool? Anti-monopoly.
Yeah. Where you have to eat energy beef jerky before you start.
I wanted to call it Mad Cow. That's where I lost everyone, by the way.
That's where I lost my investor.
I wish I was joking. No, I really did want to call it Mad Cow Beef Jerky.
I got to tell you, some of the names you've had over the years for shit. That's what I love. Like, I'm doing this one podcast. It's an internal one for this one company. And we're talking. It's funny because it's like a Seinfeld episode. It's a podcast about starting a podcast because you learn a lot of skills when you do a podcast. So it's for like their leadership academy. And one of the things that we're talking about is one of the episodes is, well, how do you start a podcast? Like, how do I come up with the concept? And I thought about you when I was saying this, and I went through a whole bunch of reasons or ways that you can do it. And one of them was, listen, sometimes you might just get a name. Like, you might just land on a name and then back into it. Like, I'm almost 80% sure that you came up with Christery and had no fucking idea like what it was going to be. You just like the name.
Oh no, you can bump that up to 99.
Because it's so you. You literally come up with names and then you're like, hey, that's why like naming, you really should be in the naming business.
I want to say I tried, but I never tried. I don't even know like where you do that. My obsession is names. That's half the reason I don't really want a kid is I don't know what I would name it.
You're very good at it. You couldn't name my show that was going to go on that one, you know, that's the only thing we couldn't ever name.
No, when it matters, I can't name something. Right. You're right.
That's exactly it. Right.
But I get calls from everybody. Can you name this? Can you name that?
Yeah, and you it's can't my do favorite it, but, thing but to I do. But I would tell you, you were probably like, Christery. And you probably called Nando. And you're like, what do you think of Christery? I know you did it because you called me and you were like, I got this show, Christery. And I was like, and you're telling me about it. I'm like, he has no fucking idea what this show is.
No, it took me about 2 months to figure out how I was going to do it. And then I recorded it, hated it, deleted it. To be honest with you, I like being like super. It's probably going to be annoying eventually because I'm. It almost sounds like a bit, but you know, I'm a psychotic mess. I want to delete all this and start again. Like that's what I when I do my own, like when it's just me, the part one, I probably take an hour to get started. I give 5 minutes delete, 2 minutes delete, 20 minutes delete. Until I feel like I'm comfortable enough to do it without stopping.
Well, the thing instead I like of just about, stopping, I'll tell you something. I personally think you should redo the podcast.
This one?
No, the whole idea. I think you should start over.
Okay. Well, listen. This is the topic of today. We're talking about changing ideas.
But I love I just love that I could say it and be like, because I could go on and be like, you know, Chris, I think Christery should be you just telling a history. I think it should be one episode, not two. I think you should just tell a historical story, give people the facts, relate it to something today, maybe have somebody come on for a couple seconds, bullshit about it, or have a co-host, and then the end, and then that's it. I know if I said that, you'd probably be like, fuck, maybe I should. Like, well, you could talk well, you the right thing off is, you this did. Entire show. I'm shocked you're
but,
still
but
doing
you
it.
Did. No, but you did that when we spoke before I recorded my first one.
That's true.
I told you that I wanted to do this a certain way, and you were like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And I did... We kind of met in the, you don't know this, but we kind of met in the middle of what you thought we should do, but yours was more rooted in today and what the tie-in is. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where I just kind of came up with instead, well, what do I feel nice like talking that, about, like, and I'll find a historical
see,
reference.
See, here's what you did that was smart for this one. You're talking about stealing ideas, and then you brought somebody in who is in the business of stealing ideas.
See right? what you did there?
What's that? No, so see what no I did that there? Works, but like you did a manifesting one and then you brought in your brother and your mom. And it's like, you should have brought in the author of The Secret, even though I fucking hate that book, but like you should have brought in that person. But I think it's, I mean, you got to bring in people that have a right to a point of view. No offense, Caroline, and no offense, Al, but come on.
Well, a big part of that for me is
they're going to kill your mom's.
Oh, they're going to fucking kill you. Al's not going to listen, but my mom's going to be upset. But I think that is one thing though, that, I'm really conscious of here. I know that Al obviously uses the family like pretty, you know, and it's a show about our opinion. So it makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
But I do want to like have some, truthfully, I want to get some popularity going before I start bringing a guest in. Cause I do have some people that want to do it and you made perfect sense for this, but it's also like, I want a lot of people to hear it. You know what I mean? And I don't know.
I love that. You have
the best way to go
how
about it.
And
again, I'm talking to you as if we're on the phone. As if we're not being recorded. What'd you say?
How'd you get all these advertisers right out of the gate? How does that work?
Wait, do you know I got one?
Well, I got to tell you something. When I turned it on to listen to like the first episode, it was like four of them.
Oh, but I have an ad read down today that I have to do. I was going to wonder if you wanted to do it on this one or if I should just redo my first one. But
wait.
To be honest, it's fucking long. I can't do it right now. I probably have to delete this whole thing. This part.
No, don't. This is it's very long. Down. Well, wait. What's the?
Are we long? Where are we at?
44 minutes.
Oh, it's not that bad.
I'll
tell you later because I feel like I'm gonna mess up my
first
ad read by talking
about
it.
You can't tell me. We can't make it. Let's do it now. Do you have to read exactly what they say?
Do you want to pause for 1 second so I can read it and see what my rules are?
Why do you have to do?
All right, hold on. Because I'm not supposed to pull the curtain back.
I love
back.
That you're talking about. Like, it's an ad read. It's supposed to be so, like, natural. And by the way, you're like, let me look at what my rules are.
But that's the directive is to be natural.
Advertisers, man. Oh, God. Who is
but
it?
But don't you... I'm not going to talk shit. All I can't right. talk shit about an ad before I even
no,
get one.
I guess
I'm very can. Grateful. And also...
But you know,
I'm going to make up who the sponsor
is. Everybody knows what you're doing. Everybody knows that, you know, the advertiser found that, like, the six people that listen to your podcast, they want to have, you know, use their
six people.
I don't know, hair gel.
Can I tell you the best part about this podcast? No matter where I rank, like on charts, which apparently is like a nonsense system.
Right.
I get to say, because I'm in the history category, that I have like the number 103 show in all of history. And
what do you think the chances are that the History Channel? Do you think the history? By the way, you really like history. Remember we met those guys from that drunk history show?
Yeah, Derek Waters.
You went out with them, like you were friends with that guy or something.
Yeah, well, we were like friends for 3 days. Like we just got along and we were like, let's hang out while you're here. Let's hang out the whole time, and then we never hung out again.
Yeah, that was when we went to the Meadowlands, the racetrack. I got in the race car, like the guy like raced me around. Like I was in the pace.
And you look at the horses like run at you, right?
Yeah, and I had no idea how allergic I was to horses until that day.
That's on brand. You're allergic to everything, right?
Everything. And a fucking horse. Like, I almost died in that thing. Well, anyway.
I want to get you going on a rant before we go. Before this is over, do you have anything? Like, do you want to set anyone in my family on fire? Like, you have strong opinions about them.
I mean, you know what? I went on some mini rants right there. As long as I got my Dear Albie thing out, which I've been dying.
But you wet my beak a little. Like I kind of want.
you miss it, don't you? You miss it.
I do. So I called
the United States a pool. I mean, where it's literally from the deep end to the shallow end. I your mom's gonna fucking kill me. I mean, I did okay. I think she has no right
to manifest.
I said your mom and Al are not experts in manifesting. You could get a, like somebody like an author or a psychologist or a scientist to come on, you know, or a neurologist to talk about manifesting, not necessarily your mom and Al. What has Al manifested?
Well, you didn't listen though. I could tell.
I didn't listen. I listened to the first 10 minutes where no one talked about manifesting.
Well, first of all, we talked about Hailey Bieber and Selena in those first 10 minutes.
I didn't even get to that.
Okay. But the conversation turned more into how manifesting the things we failed at, although we manifested. It was very humble. It was a very humbling conversation. What about Hoboken? Do you want to like go after Hoboken? I like when you're angry.
I got nothing to be angry about, buddy.
I also decided I think I'm going to go to your funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Such a huge
turn
for
a long time. For those who don't know, I'm not a big funeral guy. I just don't see the point. And I think the point is you go to pay your respects to the people that are living. And I always told John that he's the only person that I really know in his universe, and there's really no reason for me to go to his funeral.
You said maybe I'll go because I know your niece now. That's what you said.
Right, but now I feel like I've known your niece for a decade now.
Yeah.
Like,
conversation, we were sitting in, it was either Trinity or it had turned over into Union Hall before I got 86.
Speaking of funerals, Jesus.
Yeah, right. But we were sitting there and that was me, you, your mom, Al, and Lauren. And we were having this conversation, and I think only your mom and Lauren were going to come to my funeral. Al was busy that day. He like, no, I can't come.
The nature of John and I's relationship, we probably should have started with this, but started with me avoiding John, like, because right. I thought he would be a better Al friend, and I started to notice a trend that people started to want to hang out with me more than Al, so I didn't hang out with John. I blew off your birthday party.
Yes, you did.
Because I wanted Al to like, I thought you'd be a better Al friend than a me friend.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go to your birthday because I wanted you to dislike me a little bit. And we started talking about stuff like this, and we kind of got this like McNulty.
No, we went to see Malcolm Gladwell at the Amex thing.
That's what it
was. My client. Yeah. And Al didn't want to go.
Yeah, that was the first time we hung out one-on-one, I think. And then we went, Amex was your client. I wanted to see Malcolm Gladwell do his thing on David and Goliath. And we hung out. And then ever since then, we kind of did this like The Wire McNulty bunk thing where we just get drunk at the end of bars on at totally weird bridges. Hours. and we'd have these really weird conversations like, you know, would we go to each other's funerals and stuff like that. And I had such a good point to bring to you. It was such a good note to end it on. I'm just laughing now thinking about all of it. But it was always, we would just start grilling bartenders and ask them the craziest questions ever. People would walk over and just, you don't plan on talking to us, do you? Can you get out of here?
I told somebody that story the other day and they were fucking wrong because somebody down here, started to talk to me and I know the bartender. Well, it's this place called Waterman's down here, which I love. And the, you know how I could always sense, like I'm always like, this fucking person is going to want to talk to me. And it was these two guys sitting there, and I'm like, oh, Christ. And the guy started talking to me, and I was like, dude, I'm not looking to make fucking friends here. And I got up and I like walked out. And then the next time I saw the bartender, she's like, I told him, do not talk to that guy.
It's real. Just wants to write stuff on napkins and mind your own business.
Yeah,
and I've always appreciated that about you.
Yeah.
And then John, I'd like to do this more. If we can come up with some topics that,
well, if there are topics that I'm, you know, hey, listen, I'm an expert in manifesting. So if you want to talk to me about it,
I'm surprised you didn't like my manifestation crew. I thought that they're they both had vision boards.
I like the story, the Muhammad Ali thing. I like it. My point was, I can't believe I would have to make this point again. In the follow up, you need to talk to an expert, or just do one episode where you tell the story. Tell the Lizzie. I can't think of her name again. Whatever.
Maggie.
Yeah, Lizzie Maggie story. And then just kind of bullshit with about it, like the history of it, and then connect it to something today. Like, everybody's talking about manifesting, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if you need to bullshit about it afterwards with people who don't have a right to bullshit about it. Gosh, I'm dead.
I see what you're saying.
I am so dead.
I just wanted you to double down.
I know.
All right. Well, listen.
I can hear your mom now. She's gonna crush me.
Yeah, she's gonna come after. Well, I'm gonna make it a point that she gets a rebuttal. She gets 90 seconds.
Hey, listen, we're at like 50 something minutes here. So,
I mean, yeah, a lot of it is.
You gonna cut a lot of this out?
I think just us saying the F word and talking about drinking.
Yeah, I gotta tell you something. I personally am not sure that I use the F bomb that much.
I think we were okay. Yeah. But you know what? You know what F word I always forget to use? Follow. I'm supposed to tell people to like, follow, and subscribe. Oh. I've never done it once since this show has aired. And I like the ratings. I've been getting people like with commenting stuff and they say nice things.
Yeah. They do?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I just blew it though. Like, I think now people are going to be like, "Oh, let me make sure that
who's listening to this show? Like, who's your audience?"
I don't have I have a whole network.
Yeah.
But they don't tell me
into Dear Albie.
It's a lot of people. I've learned that recently. Now that I have, I was like, "Oh, it's probably going to be the same amount of people," and it's fucking not.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. So Mimi Dordidi, she likes it.
Okay. You're gonna list everybody that likes the show?
You said who?
No. I meant who is your audience? Who do you think? Who do you?
Yeah.
Describe your audience.
Okay. Soto444 in my audience.
Huh?
Soto444 is in my audience.
No. But do you think these? Okay. Let me try to say this to you differently. Do you think it's blue collar guys driving around in trucks down here in North Carolina?
No.
You think it's okay? Who is it?
I think it's the Housewives fans.
You think so?
Like, for sure. Yeah.
That Housewives thing is like, it just doesn't go away.
Yeah. It's venereal.
God.
It's venereal disease.
Right, Venera.
Don't know something. That's the thing. If I only had a housewife person, I had the manifestation expert last week. I should have brought her in for the housewife conversation.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a really passionate group of people that I thought gave up on us and forgot us legitimately completely until BravoCon this past October.
Oh, I see.
It was like. I thought we were going to BravoCon like as AC/DC at Coachella. Like, we were the novelty act that like Kendrick Lamar was going to introduce, you know?
Right, right.
And just like, hey, we wouldn't be here without him. Right. But, you know.
Or they're going to come out they're going to redo your song and you're going to play guitar.
Yeah, just like I'm the Undertaker walking on the top rope, but really slow and heavier than I've ever been. And it's sad.
Hey, by the way, I saw Springsteen last week.
I saw you see him in your post.
Yes. Did you see me in the background?
You're the only guy not on the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
You're dancing
away. I was going fucking nuts.
And that stopped me from visiting you this weekend for the first time ever.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Oh, they went to Myrtle Beach.
I was going
to
go down.
The family went?
Yep. I didn't go.
That's a rough place.
I was going to go because everyone was going, and I was like, oh, I could just catch a ride with them and then just, you know, yeah, go see John. But yeah, Springsteen.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. What do you think? Did we do good?
I enjoyed this. I mean, to me, we just, you know, this was no the only difference between this conversation and any conversation we've ever had is I'm not slurring right now.
Drinks at a pool table.
Yeah. I mean, really, we're an hour into this. We would be, you'd be saying goodbye to me to go meet Rob Callie and those guys at Augustino's, and I'd be going home because there's no way I'm going to that.
That's another thing I'd love to do one day. Actually, I'm going to find like an, maybe like the origin of the Irish exit.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's, you might have one to come on for that.
I would 100% come on. You know what? And you know what else I think you should do? I think you should move out of New Jersey and come to Wilmington. I mean, and I think anybody who's listening that's from Wilmington, North Carolina, just let's get Chris down here. I don't know if, I guess you probably have a fan base here.
If people comment,
if you get 25 people to say move to Wilmington,
I'll give it a chance.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
If you get 25 people to say you'll move to Wilmington, would you at least consider coming down, staying for like 2 weeks?
I was going to say 2 weeks. If I got 25 people to comment, move to Wilmington,
North Carolina.
Yeah, I'll do 2 weeks there, and yeah, I'll just record out of Wilmington for two weeks.
Oh my God. How great would that be?
That's fun.
Then people would hear the real conversation.
If, honest to God, if I knew that we could get some people at a bar to watch us in Wilmington,
yeah,
do this, I would love to do that. Can I come full circle now?
Because there was something you were starting to say something at the beginning and you stopped, which was you and Al are having this conversation about what? Me coming on his show?
Well, not just you, but you came up too. Yeah, because Greg Bennett wants to do a show with me.
Right.
A Christory for Pride Month. Right. Which obviously we still got some time to plan, but he's never done a Dear Albie.
I have a couple other
exciting guests that want to do it. And he's, so when I told him I was doing it with you, he's like, oh, so I
wait, so Al, so you know, what's funny about Dear Albie? I almost feel like Al's not even on Dear Albie. Like, I don't listen to Dear Albie, but like, isn't there a lot of people involved in that?
No, there's a very big family of co-hosts, but never all at once.
Okay, I got
so
it. Until that Christmas special.
Usually Al
that
and two
does.
People.
Right.
Oh, yes, that was a Christmas thing.
Yeah. How often are you Christmas on that show? Are you on that show a lot?
More recently, now that we've been doing Chris 3 and we just kind of stack up our recording days.
Yeah.
Because we record out of the same place, Studio yep. MB.
Yep.
And it's usually easier to just coordinate and say, oh, I'll be there at this time. And,
gotcha.
And just, so I've been on a lot more recently. And he was on the first and second episode.
Right. As long as he was on the manifesting one.
He was.
Good. Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I named it Manzo Festing, which was great.
Oh, that's great. I did see that. I didn't, you know what? I think I saw, like, I was shaking my head and wasn't really paying attention. Now that you say it, I saw that. Well, we hit an hour, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
I think this went well.
Yeah.
Yeah, me
I mean,
too.
Look, you let me know when we're going to re-record this because I'm assuming that's going to be.
I assumed you were busy today. I almost texted you at least 3 or 4 times and said, this is going really well. We should start over and do it great. I almost did that like 3 or 4 times, but I didn't do it because I was like, no one else should have to deal with my psychoness. So I'll just do it myself.
I believe me, I know I'm going to get, because there's no way you're going to edit this and you're not going to release a 50 or 60 minute podcast. You're just not going to do it. You know who's, you know what? This. Put Nando to work.
Nando's going to love this, I think.
You think so? Well, this is going to be Nando.
I think he's going to like
this
it.
This is when you're going to know. Like... Be like, hey, Nando, get this down to 25 minutes. And he'll be like,
oh, no, fuck. No. It's not even possible.
You want to get Nando to earn his keep? Get it down to 25 minutes, Nando.
Maybe I should try to edit it for him, poor guy.
No, you can't. He's got so much shit going on. Man. Why not just make this like an...
I like long.
Yeah, you know what this is? This is like... what they used to call those like the 12-inch version of a song?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, did you ever see an album before in your life? So yeah, it was there was like the 12-inch version. That's what this is.
Yeah, we're just like everyone has a solo now. There's been like every instrument has gotten a solo.
Yeah, Or it's just like, hey, look, we have the, you can listen to the 3-minute version or you can listen to the 12 inch.
I keep coming up with something so close, and then I'm always like, oh, I got a good little button to end it. And then I think it's something new to bring up.
Yeah.
But, and apparently I missed out on a great video opportunity today, which is, you know.
Oh, because of the way I look.
Yeah, you said you look amazing.
I look fucking great. I have to be honest with you. I'm really looking younger than I've ever looked. Lauren sent me a note and said, "What's going on? Like, why are you looking so young?" And I was like, "Exactly." I think she thinks I was using some filters. How often do you get compliments from Lauren Manzo out of the blue?
No, she actually compliments me a pretty good amount, but I'm talking about in general.
No one does.
I'm going to see her later on.
Yeah.
I think.
She wrote to me. I was like, thanks a lot.
That's her plan.
I was like, it's my new face wash, I guess.
I have her coming up soon for my Meghan Markle episode. Do you accept that? About Wallace Simpson?
I don't even know what Meghan Markle, why is Lauren gonna comment on that?
Well, my dad and Lauren are very passionate about the royal family.
See, your dad could be on an episode about, like, well, he could be on a lot, but who's the guy that your dad loves?
Freddie Mercury?
No, he could be on a Freddie Mercury one. Hamilton.
Right. I have his hair in the basement.
That's what I mean. Like, your dad has every right to talk about Hamilton. Your mom has your mom has a right to talk about pretty much anything. I'm not so sure I'm going to stick with Matt.
Whenever my dad brings up Hamilton, I start giving facts about Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Ah.
So just to like get him going.
Yeah.
You know, so he'll be like, you know what's interesting about Hamilton? And I'll be like, that he was born in Queens. And he's like, no, he's born in Patterson. I was like, no, he's born in Queens. He's a rapper and he's born in Queens.
Totally fucked up. I got to tell you that it's very easy to, if you bring up Hamilton to your dad, you're in.
Like, yeah, I've been waiting for, I guess we could just do like Patterson. Cause that's his obsession with him is it comes from Patterson.
Patterson. Sure. Yeah.
Listen, John, if it makes you feel better, even though you don't listen, I'll do a better job of getting the right guests on the right topics.
I just think it's a matter of, it's the C word. It's credibility. You need people with credibility. Like, hey, so-and-so did whatever, or here's the reason why. When you did the one with Al and your mom, did you set up why they were the right people to talk about that?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, just maybe edit that in. And be like, you know, Al has read The Secret 300 times, which he probably has.
Well, he was a Napoleon Hill guy.
Ah.
That's where the Al part came in.
But you're backing
into And my mom
you're
has a vision
bullshit.
Board.
You're backing into that.
No, I say it in the podcast. I'll always be able to back into
this. Here's the thing, man. It is, you're right. You missed out on a great video opportunity because truly, and it might be my new face wash, which it's too bad that that's not your advertiser right now. Right. Cause we could have, see how we could have woven that in and it would have been and they would be like, oh my God, that's the best ad. And we would have been talking about it. Like I think I use Hims, you know, that Hims stuff that those guys use that are losing their hair, which by the way, I'm not losing even a strand.
I thought Hims
of.
Was boner stuff.
Well, I think they make like a whole thing. Like they make everything.
For
they
men.
Make, maybe they make boner things and they make like all that stuff.
All the things men.
The
feel.
Hair thing. I have the face stuff. It called like High Tide or whatever. It is phenomenal. And got a call from Lauren Manzo. Why are you like, what are you doing? She thinks I'm using a filter, but you missed out on that for sure. And whatever Hims as an advertiser, they should be advertising on this show. Now, maybe
well,
I
that's
just,
what
I might have just got
suggest,
you an advertiser.
Or with idea stealing, what I was thinking was maybe what I'll start doing is doing fake ads for people that haven't sponsored me yet.
There we go. We just did one.
Yeah. So and Hims
and
now really
and
has
And by
a
the
reason.
Way, they'll love to listen to it. And they'll be like, well, they're not really our target. You know, your audience is not our target audience. You'll be like, yeah, but it's a great idea. And they'll be like, who the fuck cares about your idea? See how it all comes full circle?
But see, they would care. I think this audience would be appealing to Hims because there's nothing a man cares more about, see what I'm about to do for them right now,
yes,
than a woman's opinion. I don't by give the way, a fuck what anybody says.
Oh, that's a great point. And by the way, did I tell you? I told you about my hair club thing, right?
What about
that
it?
I'm doing the hair club interview. I'm the interviewer for hair club.
Yeah.
I mean, how perfect is it? How you want to talk about perfect? Am I not the perfect hair club guy?
John's got great hair for anyone. We really should have done the video thing. Now we've really done a whole,
it's all right. Let people do a little digging. Put a link up. But seriously, hair club.
Palumbo Land. Follow John on it. And listen, if you do like, this was kind of the orange chicken sampling in the food court of what your everyday posts are, right?
Right.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.